Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Hey everyone, my name is Asher Roddy.
And this is Tyler Whipple.
Welcome to Talking Two-Tone.
We're thrilled to bring you a new and thought-provoking podcast that talks all things Tennessee Titans.
Go ahead and reserve your ticket now. It's going to be an incredible journey. Tighten up.
All right, guys, welcome back to another edition of Talking Two-Tone. I'm Tyler Whipple. I'm joined by my good friend and wonderful co-host, Asher Roddy. We've got some things to talk about this week.
We
had so much fun talking about the Peaky Blinders last week that we got a good little surprise that you guys will probably really enjoy hearing. We got a guy who really knows the stuff in the film and media coming in, so we'll get into that later. But first, Asher, let's get right into it, man. We want to talk about our expectations versus reality for this year, this Titans team. What is your expectations versus what you think reality will be?
I think that first of all, it's great to be back. Always great to be back talking Titans and just talking shit with Tyler. Shooting the shit's always a great time. But I think, overall for this Titans team, my expectations are, as a fan, you got to win at least 12 games. You won 12 last year, you got to win at least 12 this year. With that being said, reality-wise, we've got a rookie wide receiver who's stepping into, wide receiver one role or that expectation. You've got Robert Woods coming off of a torn ACL. You got Derrick Henry coming back who's got doubters. You've got Jeffrey Simmons, who's a monster, who is ascending to becoming one of the top interior defensive linemen in the NFL, if not number two already. You've got Kevin Byard, who is an all-pro and the best safety in the league. It's not even close. Please don't argue with me. It's not even close. You've got a young DB secondary. The defense is going to have to carry this team. I think the defense is going to have to carry this team unless Todd Downing has somehow, for the love of God, found a way to be more creative with his play calling, and hopefully O'Hara can help him with that. But, my reality is I could easily see this team barely winning 10 games, which is, it's kind of spoiled to say that after 8-8. But I could see this team winning 10 games, and I could also see this team winning 13 games. I don't know. It just depends on how this offense – there's so many uncertainties on the offensive side of the football, which, seems to be like a common theme with the Titans. Their defense throughout the history has always been good. But the offense is always just hit or miss. But, yeah, that's what I think.
I think we got spoiled about the 2020 year. Everybody expects the Titans to duplicate that 2020 season of offense. Now, it's a little unrealistic because that offense was the best probably.
That was
the best offense in Tennessee Titans history that year. It was unreal how good that offense was. We almost had two 1,000-yard receivers. We had a 2,000-yard rusher. No, that was the year Derek went for, 1,800 that year, I think?
And 1,800. Then, he missed a game that year.
Yeah, and then we had Tannehill had, 30 TDs and only, six picks. It was unreal the season they had. He had, 4,000 yards passing or a little right under 4,000, I believe.
Not this year. But we're talking about expectations.
Expectations for the Titans this year in, the grand scheme, if you're talking national media, a lot of teams are still picking us to be number two in the division. They're looking at us being a 9-8 team, 10-7 at best. And I think the Titans are going to be better than that. People are really, really undervaluing the signing of Tim Kelly and what he can do within the passing game. If you look at the Texans, how much better they got at the end of the year last year in the passing game.
their offensive coordinator, who is Tim Kelly, who is now
on our staff, is really going to be in Todd Downing's ear helping. You got to think another thing. Todd Downing is in his second year. It's going to be a lot of those bumps and bruises along the way should be cushioned out a little bit. We shouldn't be hitting, you know, full tilt concrete speed bumps. We should be hitting speed cushions at this point, right? I don't know if that's a good analogy or not, but I think they really will improve this year. Losing A.J. Brown is huge, obviously. But I think
the play call will be better.
I believe we still have the roster to do it, because I believe the tools we have right now are just up to par, or maybe even a slight bit better than we had last year. Because Julio Jones was never in the field. Our tight end room was horrible. Our tight end room is upgraded from an F to at least a B, I would say. Our wide receiver room has devalued, of course. Yeah, we probably went from a B plus to a C minus. But our quarterback's going to be in a better position this year. I believe our offensive line will be a little better in the pass protection game. And, of course, we're always going to run the ball downhill and play really well there. So I think we're going to win 11 games again. I think we're going to win the division. That's my reality.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. I could see anything realistically. I could see Tennessee going off, you know, just pissed off like a teenager. You just took away your cell phone. I could see that happening, right?
It feels like 2000.
It just does. Actually, Brown's little to me.
Not known in 2019. And we went to the AFC Championship game. Who says Treylon Burks can't play that well? You know, exactly. So, yeah. I mean, that's what it feels
the
like.
The national media says he can't because of his asthma, which blows my mind. You know, everybody who has asthma, just about almost a decent amount of players that have asthma are just fine. Jay Cutler played with fucking diabetes. All right. So, you know, diabetes. But, you know, yeah.
And with a piss-poor attitude.
Yeah, he did. Piss-poor attitude. But, you know, that's just the way it is, you know. Leading on to the next topic, and you kind of touched on it, about the tight end room. I've gone on record numerous times saying that I hate the idea of ever having to carry three tight ends. I hate it. I hate having three tight ends active on every single game day. I hate even having, you know, I understand why you have to have two, but I don't know for the life of me why you have to have three. I could just, I mean, good God. And I swear to God, if the starting tight ends this year are not Austin Hooper and Chig, I'm going to have an absolute come apart, because Jeff Swaim is terrible. Jeff Swaim is committing robbery by still being on this team. He is so bad. I understand why you have to have – kind of understand why you have to have Jeff Swaim there in case Chig gets hurt. But, God damn it, why would you re-sign him? You know, let him test the free agent market and see how little to no value he brings. And then you sign him on a veteran minimum. You don't sign him for like a two-year, $7 million contract or something.
We could have kept Anthony Firkser for that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, my God, but I am really excited about Chig. I'm excited about Austin Hooper. I think he is literally just, you have like quote-unquote run-blocking tight ends, and then you have quote-unquote every-down tight ends. I think Austin Hooper is an every-down tight end. I do not understand why Jeff Swaim was brought in solely as a blocking tight end when he graded out horribly at the position. I think every single game last year, or at least 10 instances, I saw one play where Jeff Swaim just absolutely had a horrible attempt at a block, and it caused a big loss. I don't know how you can allow that to continue to happen. And also, another thing that really has pissed me off lately is that I'm seeing reports that we're going to keep four tight ends, which is going to piss me off even more than having to keep three. The only thing that could have pissed me off more than keeping three tight ends is keeping four. Okay, I mean, that's really going to piss me off, because you know what that means? That means you have one less offensive lineman depth, you have one less DB depth, and that means you probably don't even have a fucking fullback, which basically at that point is the same thing as a blocking tight end. Like, if there are four tight ends on this 53-man roster on week one, I am going, I will have a fit. I'm already fired up.
I don't see it happening.
I'm already fired up.
I think it's much to do about nothing, Asher. I think it's much to do about nothing, man. And I think Torrey Carter is going to be on the roster because they really like him. And they got rid of Blasting Games, so Torrey Carter's that guy. I don't see us having four tight ends. I mean, who is the fourth tight end on this roster? This
Jeff Swaim.
So
I don't see that happening.
Is it Swaim? Who's number three after Chig? Oh, Hudson's still on the roster.
Tommy Hudson.
Yeah, I really don't see them picking Jeff Swaim or Tommy Hudson over Torrey Carter, as good as he is in the run game. I just don't see it. So, I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, the offense could have a new identity, but we'll see.
I would be okay with them having a fourth tight end if it was only named Carter. Like, that would be justified, in my opinion. Like, if you carried three. If you carried Chig and Hooper and then you put Jeff Swaim on the practice squad where I think he belongs, and then you put Torrey Carter or whatever his name is in there as, like, the third tight end slash fullback, I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. But
he's got a neck roll. He's a maniac.
Yeah, exactly.
Got a little neck roll guy.
Three tight ends, and then in addition to Jeff Swaim. But, you know, that we're kind of getting sidetracked. Yeah, I hope not. I hope to God. I will write a letter. A very strongly worded letter.
You hear this, J. Rob? You better not have four tight ends. You better not.
I mean, that's just
we're coming to Nashville.
Stupid. I'll come to Nashville, and I won't fucking leave until I see somebody in the Titans front office.
We're gonna picket outside the.
No four tight ends.
Three tight ends at max. That's what we're doing.
Three tight ends maximum, never four. But, you know, transitioning to a topic that we've talked about previously, but it's kind of – I like to make a play on words. You know, a Mexican standoff, I like to call it a Mexicali stand-on. There's kind of a little chess game going on, I think, with J-Rob versus Vrabel and Jeffrey Simmons right now. I think Vrabel's always been a player's coach. He always will be. He takes care of his players. He rewards them when they do well. He doesn't when they don't. He lets them know. He holds them accountable. And I think, you know, from what I've been hearing and what I've been reading around Nashville is at least in the mandatory minicamp. Now, keep in mind, this may bear some fruit or it may bear no fruit whatsoever, is that Jeffrey Simmons was out on the field but not practicing, not partaking. He was on a bike somewhere else, just doing light jogs, stuff like that. He says he's 100%. He's not hurt. Vrabel did not say he was hurt. And then, you know, you kind of have the Vrabel mindset to where if you're healthy, you practice. There's always been about that. And then you have some peculiar comments that I was reading today while I was at work about Jeffrey Simmons saying that he's healthy. He's good to go. He said he'll be available. He at first said he will practice at training camp. And then he said he will be available at training camp. Kind of backtracked a little bit. And what I'm kind of reading into this is that Jeffrey Simmons set to make $2.2 million on his fourth year of his rookie contract. He doesn't have a contract extension. There are 10 other defensive players that make more money than he does. And Vrabel understands that. He understands how valuable Jeffrey Simmons is. He also understood how valuable A.J. Brown was, and he was very pissed off when they had to trade him. So I think Vrabel is kind of fueling the fire here of letting Jeffrey Simmons hold out. And that's what I think's happening.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it.
I mean, and that's all this is like pure speculation because, of course, the Titans are pretty close and they don't let a lot of stuff get out, like the A.J. Brown trade. Crazy. Nobody expected it to come. It's just that's usually what the successful organizations do in the NFL. They're not really loud in the offseason. They let things happen internally and they don't let stuff leak. So this is all speculation. We don't let Jefferson hold out. Big time Titan forever. And I mean, it does work out at times. Like Taylor Lewan held out on his rookie deal and he ended up getting the bag. So maybe Jeffrey Simmons does the same thing. And maybe he's just there to, I don't know, to show he's still available at the same time he wants the bag. So I don't know. I don't really want to read too much into it because it makes me nervous. So
it makes me nervous too. But if let's put ourselves in Jeffrey Simmons' shoes, I would 100% hold out if I were him. 100% until I got a new contract, I would hold out. And that might piss off a bunch of, you know, armchair fans who say, oh, you should just play for the love of the game. Fuck that. He is the 11th highest paid defensive player on our roster. He is performing at an all-pro and Pro Bowl level. He is one of the two vocal leaders on this defensive team besides Kevin Byard. And I think he deserves at least $20 million a year. I genuinely believe that.
Well, he's top five years player ago, in the NFL in defense.
Yeah. I mean, and you keep in mind, 5 years ago to yesterday, I believe, is when Aaron Donald said he would hold out until he got a new contract. Now, that may have little to no bearing of fruit or whatever or what have you. And, you know, Jeffrey Simmons was at Von Miller's Pass Rush Summit, you know, the meeting that they all do. They get together and share their tips and pros, and he loves the game. He just is, he knows what he's worth, and I respect it. I would hold out if I were him, and I would say, look, I want to be here. I think Jeffrey Simmons wanted to be in Tennessee more than A.J. Brown did, obviously, because A.J. Brown was putting on this huge fugazi that he wanted to stay and all this. He wanted to be a Titan for life. And then his best friend Jalen Hurts calls him up, who can't throw for more than 3,000 yards in a football season, 17 games, calls him up and says, hey, come on down to Philadelphia. And so I think A.J. blackballed his way out of the Tennessee organization to get to Philadelphia, where he's going to enjoy little to no success in that passing offense. And then where you have Jeffrey Simmons, who probably loves Vrabel, and they probably love each other because they're defensive guys and they're just freaks. So, you know, if I'm Jeffrey Simmons, I'm not worried about it because I'm way more, you know, excited about Jeffrey Simmons getting his contract than A.J. Brown, because we traded A.J. Brown. We traded his, what we would have had to have paid him. And we flipped that into a rookie contract, which ultimately created over more space in the long term in cap terms. And I think Jeffrey Simmons will command that 20. Instead of spending $20 million on A.J. Brown, would you rather have spent $20 million on Jeffrey Simmons, is basically what I'm trying to say. And if you asked me that question, I would have told you Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons is more valuable to this team than A.J. Brown was.
Yeah.
So that's where I am.
I could agree with that. I mean, if they would have paid A.J. Brown $20 million, I would
get the bag. Because, you know, we're about to be out of the quarterback
contract after next year, most likely. So we could have done it, but let's not dwell on the past. You know, let's move on. A.J. Brown's not a Titan anymore. But I think Jeffrey Simmons is a long-term Titan. You know, I said the same thing about A.J. Brown. So it does concern me, but at the same time, I really, like you said, I just feel like this is such a defensive-centric franchise. They're going to make it happen, and they're going to pay the man, and he's going to be a Titan for life, at least a Titan for the next 5 to 7 years.
Now it's time for Talking Two Tones Fan of the Week.
As we talked about earlier, we have Roger Fountain coming on. He is the expert in film and digital media. He's going to give us a lot of takes going forward here. I think your guys are going to really enjoy him. He is really smart in this industry. He knows his movie stuff. He is actually the executive producer of Darking Media. It's a production company that he owns. He has a TikTok page as well. It's called Darking Media as well. It's just the same. It's Darking Media. He has a lot of cool videos and content on the TikTok page where he rates movies, and he shows you what you should be watching. And I think you guys really enjoy it. So go check that out. Subscribe or follow whatever it is on TikTok these days. It's Darking Media, like I said. Now, Roger, we're happy to have you on, buddy. And let's get this going.
It's great to be here, Ty. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Asher, you as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I love you guys' podcast. I listened to a couple of episodes. I think like last week or the week before, whatever the previous one was, when you guys started talking about Peaky Blinders, I stopped listening right before that because like I haven't seen any of it, and so I'm just like spoilers. Yeah, so but I listened up until then. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, did you hear my part about the whole Colts plane crashing and killing all the players?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna double down on that. I still stand by that comment. I don't care. But yeah. You know, Roger, we got a couple of talking points with you. One thing I kind of wanted to open it up with, you know, Tyler mentioned to me that you lived in the Nashville area for a good portion. Did you ever have any encounters with Titans players, like, while you were there?
Yes. So I worked I lived in the 12 South area of Nashville, which is, like, I mean, obviously South. But, like, you know, it's past, like, Broadway. It's, like, I would say a more gentrified area of Nashville. But I worked at this little breakfast place called Fenwick's 300. Shout out to the Finney fam. And this guy came in and, like, whatever. I remember he ordered, like, a steak and eggs, a side of fruit, I think some avocado, iced coffee, and he tipped about 20%. I was like, whatever. And then one of my other regulars, who is a, oh my God, he was a robotics expert or something, or a missile defense guy. I can't remember. But anyways, he lived, like, right next to him. He's, you know who that was? I was like, no. He's like, this is Derrick Henry. I'm like, I don't know who Derrick Henry is.
What a name drop.
Yeah.
Drop on the podcast post.
I was like, I don't know who Derrick Henry is. Nothing.
Yeah. He was massive. He was, though, like, right? Huge guy.
He's huge. Huge. I mean, yeah. So there was another guy that was a regular of mine. His name was Jeff. I don't remember what his last name was, but he was. No, it's an older player. So okay. he was on Dan Marino's team for the Dolphins or whatever. He played, like, in the 80s.
Oh, cool.
And so, like, when he told me that, it's this buff, bald guy that would come in, and he, like, runs, like, a trucking company. And he was like, yeah, I used to play for the Dolphins. I was like, what are you talking about? And then I looked him up, and it was, like, the same version of him, but, like, with hair. It was hilarious. But anyways, yeah, Derrick Henry was super nice, man. Very, very polite. Like, he didn't go out of his way to, like, say anything bad or whatever. He was, like, very quiet, kept to himself. But, yeah, he lived, like, right down the street from me. And from what he had an apartment there. I don't know if he stayed there full time, but he had an apartment, like a nice dog. Yeah, he was a nice guy.
Yeah, I don't have anything.
Derrick Henry, really same kind of guy.
Very chill, yeah.
Yeah, he is. So I've met Derrick Henry. Well, I didn't meet him, but, you know, I pissed next to him in the same bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
It was the summer after his rookie year. No, I wouldn't have won that contest.
I was gonna say, did it, like, leak out over the urinal, like, overshadow you, like an old clock?
No, this is when DeMarco Murray was the starting back, and this is right after Derek's rookie year.
Oh, so yeah, super early.
He was back in Tuscaloosa and he was working out, and I went to this bar called Moe's Barbecue and downtown Tuscaloosa, kind of, and I was there with my older brother and his girlfriend at the time, and Derrick walks in and he comes down and he sits down and gets a barbecue sandwich and some macaroni and cheese, and then he goes right into the bathroom. And so I was like, you know what, fuck it, I kind of had to piss too.
I did the same thing with Jeff Goldblum. Go ahead.
So I walk back there and I'm like, you know, Derrick, in a couple of years, this league's going to be yours. He said, you know, Derrick, I bought your jersey as soon as you got drafted to the Titans. I'm a huge Tennessee Titans fan. Obviously, I'm a Bama alum now, but I was in college then. I said, Derrick, I go here. Tennessee's my favorite team. You're going to take over the league when you get your chance. And he said, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Aww.
And then he finished pissing and then he left.
he shook your dick and then he left, right?
How have you not told me that story?
I've told you that story.
Yeah, I haven't heard that. That's crazy.
The good content started coming out. Have you? I do not remember that at all. Okay, maybe I'm going crazy.
Oh, yeah. That's
awesome, though.
Should have got him to sign my dick.
would there have been enough room?
Probably no, not. No. There definitely would not. No.
Microscopic pen. Okay, moving on. We could talk about Packers all day if you guys want to, but if you want to move on here.
I mean, you know. That's all Hollywood is, baby. It's about swinging dicks.
That's great intro to this. We talked about your life in Nashville. Now, a little backstory. Me and Roger are good friends from this was really little, and he's one of my best friends in my whole life. I love Roger. So
same.
That just goes back to the. Just want to mention that before we go on. But you had your life in Nashville, but you've moved to Hollywood to pursue what you love. And we just want to know what it's like working in the film and media industry.
Yeah. So the position that I'm in right now kind of relates to football. So did you guys, and movies and sort of the mesh of the two, did you guys see the movie Concussion with Will Smith pre-slap?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So the movie, the study that movie is based off of, like the doctor that did all the like study on CRT and stuff, that's the guy that I work for now. I'm a video editor for their content or whatever. We just hit 1 million followers on Instagram, and I think we're at like 1.5 million on TikTok. YouTube's a slower audience. They're not quite, there aren't many millennials on YouTube anymore. It's all Gen Zers and stuff, so it's right. Hard to have intelligent or long form conversations on there and get it to pop. But yeah, so that's the guy that I work for, and it's like, man, the stories he had about just fucking Roger Goodell in the NFL, he's like, they would put like little helmets on top of mice and have them run into each other, and then they would give them like an MRI, and they're like, oh, their brains are fine. He's like, that's mice and men are not the same thing.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Man,
it's pretty crazy. Comparing a mouse brain to a human brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I mean, there's so many examples. I would say like Ben Roethlisberger would be a big example of
rapist.
Like, yes, of how like it's very, I mean, obviously we can be quick to judge terrible fucking things. I feel like, wasn't there like a viral video of some dude like throwing his girlfriend through like a fucking TV or something recently?
Ray Rice hit that girl with a 1-2 combo.
Yes, that's what it was. So like, as many times as they get their like head hit, like some of the work that we do highlights like the anterior cingulate gyrus and the basal ganglia and the stuff that gets inflamed after multiple like concussions and stuff that pretty much are mood regulators and stabilizers and help with like logic and like the prefrontal cortex, which is like the brain's brake, which can tell you before you do an action that it's going to have terrible consequences. It's kind of let you like stop saying things that you're not supposed to say or doing things that you're not supposed to do. And so these guys in this profession, like, I mean, they get hit a lot. Like, you have to really know, like, recognize that and counterbalance it. As much as I fucking dislike Tom Brady, he eats virtually like perfectly. Like his diet's fantastic and whatever. He's a quarterback, right? Yeah. So it's a position that, yeah, you get like hit, but you don't get hit like every single fucking play a large amount. I think the ones that have the most brain damage are like linemen stuff. Even like ones that get like the little hits, like thousands and thousands of micro hits is like worse for you apparently. But yeah.
Man, yeah. That's the first thing that goes away when I get drunk.
It's inhibitions. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so the dude that I work for, he's, I mean, he works with fucking, he's Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber's like doctor. He's kind of the reason Justin Bieber got away with all that shit. You remember when he was in court and he was like, I do not recall.
Yeah. Pee-pee so. In buckets and driving fast up and down the interstate. Yeah. He's acting like a little hooligan.
Yes, and so he went to see the doctor that I work for, and he started like taking his meds and like sleeping in the hyperbaric chamber or whatever, and now he's like whatever back on top, whatever, however, wherever the fuck he was, he's somewhere. I know people still like him for some reason.
Yeah.
Like Harry
yeah.
Styles.
Yeah. Favor, yeah. Favor. You're not a believer. I'm a
fuck
believer.
No, Jesus Christ. Okay. I'm not a Miley Cyrus. Actually, Miley Cyrus is pretty cool. Cyrus the virus, baby.
Oh God!
But yeah, he also treated Mike. I just saw Mike Tyson on Jimmy Kimmel. He's Mike Tyson's one of his patients. A couple of boxers. Muhammad Ali was one of his patients. Yeah, you know, he's dealt with like some high profile athletes.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of all the ones that we've shot. I'm gonna pull up their YouTube here and see which ones I worked on, because I know I've worked with a couple of NBA stars, a couple of Olympians, and I think one football player. Let me see here.
Tell me it's not Trent Dilfer or Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah. Oh my God, no. No, I whatever, like the more famous they are, the more I want to meet them. You know, I don't care if they're famous or infamous, you know.
All my friends hate Trent Dilfer.
All your friends.
Yeah, that's like a going thing. Let's... Asher hates those two.
Yeah, I'd say. Oh, what's his face? So we moved out here from Nashville. And so, you know, we never went to a Titans game, unfortunately. We went to multiple Predators games. So this was back whenever Predators made the Stanley Cup run, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2017.
Yeah, 2017. So fucking we went to like, I don't know. No, we didn't get a playoff game tickets. We had multiple people who went to the fucking playoff games. And so we would like watch it or whatever. And so whenever it got to one game, and freaking what's his face for the Penguins. What's the worst motherfucker for the Penguins?
Sidney Crosby.
Crosby, thank
Sidney
you.
Sidney Crosby.
Fucking Crosby, man. So he had a shot on our goal, and it bounced off of Pecorine, and it went into the goal, and went into the goal, and the refs counted it. I was like, that's a point. That's a point for the Penguins. I'm like, all right, whatever. And so Subban, PK Subban, back when he played for the Preds, he's coming in from the other side and knocks it off of the Penguins goalie and into the goal. Same fucking play, same fucking thing happened, same outcome. And the refs were like, nah, that doesn't count. I was like, okay, so Pittsburgh just has more money. And so now I don't even watch like championship level sports because I'm like, it's whatever's going to get the most tourism, whatever's going to sell the most merch. So, but
that
we
was
almost...
Sidney Crosby's first, right?
Was it his first Stanley Cup?
What, no. Was it Asher? Or did he already have a couple before then?
He's got a couple. He also has like 60 concussions.
Yeah. That I believe, Jesus Christ.
He is not very well liked in the NHL community. I can tell you that he gets fucking rocked. But he gets rocked. Subban is hated for some reason. Subban,
really?
Like,
that's interesting. Subban's really nice. That surprises
me. He's a nice
me.
Guy. Yeah, he's a nice guy, but everybody just hates him for some reason. I don't know. I love Subban. I have one of his jerseys.
But, yeah, I like know. Subban.
But, you
I
know,
like...
it's he said he's married to Lindsay Vonn, I think.
Oh man! Oh,
really?
Yeah, he's got smoking hot wife. Yeah, smoking hot. But you know that kind of transitioning now. I've been heated for 90% of the day. All right, and oh, wow. I want to reiterate this. I've been waiting 17 fucking years. I've
oh,
been
my
waiting.
God.
To see Obi-Wan Kenobi and Hayden Christensen on the goddamn screen. All right, I've been waiting 17 years.
Oh,
17
man.
Years. I was 9 years old the last time we got to see them. Nine.
And nine when the third one came out? Episode 3?
Revenge of the Sith. Yeah, yes.
I was a little older than nine.
Well, let me tell you, that was 17 years ago. I just turned 26, so I might have been 10. Who knows? Matt. But anyhow, gotcha. I am so angry about this show, and I don't and there are a lot of reasons why, but mm-hmm. I at the same time I'm angry at myself for buying into this shit that Disney puts out there. All right, and here's why every show that they put out has in some way, shape or another been the exact same plot. In some way, shape or another, there's always a kid that gets kidnapped. Mm-hmm. There's always a fucking sympathetic droid that everybody starts to feel bad for and learns and grows to love. There's always the hero who emerges and he's like, all right, we got to go save this kid. And then there's always an old foe that the hero has to go against. And then there are some other characters that are introduced. And then you're thinking, okay, wow, let's get this show rocking. And then you're like, then there's a whole episode of where the main character isn't even in the show. And then they just develop the side character to the point to where they are so ungodly over the top unbearing that the show dominates that they dominate the show. Like, I don't even know why you called it a Kenobi show, because all you did was have Reva and fucking Leia on the screen. And like, Luke isn't important. It's not like his grandma got raped and killed on this planet. And it's not like his father was sold into slavery from the Tusken Raiders, who were a constant threat on the fucking planet.
It's not like constantly. He finds both of their corpses or anything.
Yeah. It's it makes no sense that Luke's just abandoned until the very last 10 minutes of the episode. And then you're just thinking to myself,
spoilers.
I'm just thinking to myself, you just spent $125 million on this show to just ultimately say, all right, we're going to make a Reva and Leia show. It's like, Hayden Christensen is on the screen for maybe 2 minutes, maybe. Uh-huh. Maybe 2 minutes, and they went on this massive marketing ploy.
Yes.
They're saying, we're bringing him back, we're bringing him back. And then, what the fuck is that?
But that's the point. And let me break this down for you. So you have some pretty broad strokes of story structure there, but in its basis form, Disney is very formulaic. It's always going to have X, Y, and Z. Like you said, the character like Mandalorian, for example, was like kind of like a new protagonist. And then like, yeah, he rescues like the little baby creature, in this case, Baby Yoda or whatever. And then you introduce all the side characters and flesh it out from there. So Disney's all strategy. Disney is all a money-making machine. So yes, they had a crazy media blitz saying whatever, Hayden Christensen was going to be back, even though it was ever so briefly. He was there at every fucking promo for it, I'm sure. And so that's why they called the show Obi-Wan as well, because everybody wanted to see more Obi-Wan stuff. How much, so like whenever they introduce side characters, and like you say, it basically becomes their show, that's the point, because they can sell all of that new character shit. Like, how much Baby Yoda shit have you seen?
That's my thing. True. That bothers me. True. Like, I understand that it happens. Like, I agree with you, but it bothers me.
It's just bullshit. Yeah.
it's a bunch of bullshit, because like, you had a gold mine of opportunity. There's so much unwritten stuff between episode 3 and 4 that they could have explored. Like, you could, Vader was on screen for maybe 10 minutes. Hayden Christensen was on screen for like 2. And then you have Obi-Wan basically being forced to take a backseat to Reva and Leia. And then Luke, the other twin that Obi-Wan's supposed to watch over at Revenge of the Sith, you don't see Luke hardly at all. And then you also, you know, at the end of Revenge of the Sith, you're like, oh, on Tatooine, I have some training for you to commute with your old master.
Yes,
through the ways
that
of
shit
the Force.
Bothers me.
Yeah, and then you see Qui-Gon and like, yeah, I guess we got
like 2 seconds.
At the very end, I will say this. It could have been a movie. It could have just been a movie.
Which, with the budget of $127 million, it should have just been a movie, because that's like one fucking episode of Stranger Things.
It could have been a movie. Hmm. But also, I will say this. If they leave it in only one season, it was a giant catastrophe.
They might leave it at one season. So let me ask you this. How many shows take place between episode 2 and episode 3?
The Clone Wars TV show.
Clone Wars. Clone Wars Rebels, the animated Tarkovsky or whatever version of the Clone Wars.
With Asajj Ventress and Anakin,
And
that was good stuff.
And so there's like at least 4 shows between episode 2 and 3. You don't think that they can squeeze 4 shows between episode 3 and episode 4? So this show might have been setting up Leia and what's her face, because you know, they, like you said, they could have had a shit ton of payoff for this one show, but it's Disney. They're gonna milk that fucking bad boy. They bought Star Wars for $4 billion, the same amount of money that they bought Marvel for, and Disney recycles, Disney reuses, Disney expands. You know, they don't fucking throw away anything. And so
they're gonna ruin the quality of the show.
Well, and that's why they add all the side characters and stuff, is to try to get you interested. So I guarantee you they're going to come out with a little Leia show, and they're probably going to come out with a little Luke show, which is going to have him hunting down the Tusken Raiders or fighting them and shit as a child. You know, whenever he says, he's like, oh, they're about the size of swamp rats on whatever the fuck. Yeah. Whenever he's like shooting them, about roughly the size of 2 meters. Like, you know, he's going to have some time to shine. I don't know if they have the budget to bring freaking Ewan McGregor back for that. But that's at least 2 shows right there, and probably a 3rd one starring what's her face, the new Sith lady, the 3rd sister.
Reva.
And
Reva. She's a what the fuck, man? What the fuck?
I'm just telling you what's gonna happen.
I know, and that's the most frustrating thing to me, is that I just bought into this. You know, I waited 17 goddamn years to watch a fucking show about Obi-Wan Kenobi and Hayden Christensen and you know, Ewan McGregor, and this is what I get. I get 2 minutes of Hayden Christensen about, you know, Attack of the Clones sparring session, and then you get Darth Vader staring out into space for like 7 minutes, and then you get two battles. You know, I think
you can't get him to stop. You can't get him to stop this point, Roger.
That's fine.
I'm on a tangent. I'll
go ahead. I'll circle back.
I've been heated.
I can tell. If you got hate in your heart, brother, let it out.
I'm telling you right now, if they don't give me an R-rated Vader spinoff movie, I'm just gonna have a fucking come apart.
That's not going to happen. Not Disney.
PG-14, I'll settle for. But I'm just so angry that they ended it on the Qui-Gon thing. Like, where was that the whole fucking series? That's what he had 2 jobs. Yoda gave him 2 fucking jobs, none of which involved going to save the girl that can outrun 3 guys, 3 grown men, And that forest scene.
Yeah. Those are the most out of shape. By the way, Flea can run faster than that. Come on, I've seen him on stage. He can run faster. I'm kidding, I haven't, but I'm assuming he can run faster.
There's just so many massive plot holes. It's like unbelievable. It's like, you know, I get the quippy little, you know, tangents that you fill back in from, you know, hello there when he says yes. That's General Grievous. Yeah, that was
everybody
cool
loves
when he
that
said
shit.
That to, yeah.
Yep.
Everybody loves it. And they're like, oh, okay, maybe this will change the overall point of view of
the show.
I mean,
it's done at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, and then you get Qui-Gon, you know, he doesn't even talk like Qui-Gon. He talks like, you know, he's in Taken. It's like,
I was gonna say he talks like Liam Neeson, and I want to know how much they paid him for that, because I love Liam Neeson, but like they asked him, they're like, when are you gonna stop doing these terrible fucking action movies? He's like, whenever they stop paying me. So I want to know what Disney paid him to do that. But you know, your spinoff, your Darth Vader movie, isn't a bad idea, but they're gonna have to do it while James Earl Jones is still alive. First of all, I'm glad they brought him back to do the voice. And I think, like, I mean, they could put it in, like, so he was in Rogue One briefly at the end, right? So they could do,
yeah,
like, another...
Just ruthless.
Yes, which was awesome, dude. Throwing him up on the ceiling, all that stuff was incredible. And him catching... There were some good Vader moments in this, too, I thought. Him catching the spaceship with the Force or whatever and pulling it down, he did on Force Unleashed, but it was an Imperial Star Destroyer on that one, because that the Force powers were just amped up to hell and back. And I thought the face, the mask getting... Tyler, you haven't seen it. We're spoiling this for everybody.
I don't watch any Star Wars, so I mean...
Very similar to the Ahsoka fight in Rebels.
I'm excited about the Ahsoka series. But anyways, like, whenever he gets his face, his mask cut in half, and it has, like, half Hayden voice, half... Yeah. That was Vader awesome. Voice. That was great.
And I love that part. I wanted to see more of that, and less of a bunch of just filler shit. You know, it bothers
me. It was filler stuff.
It was like, you know, you get to see, like, you know, I'm getting into the symbolism of it. Like, you see Anakin trying to break through there in that scene. You see him.
Yes, literally.
You see him. Visually, you see Anakin is trying to break through there. And Vader just suppresses him down. And, you know, he's trying to give Obi-Wan his closure, you know, that you didn't do this. And then Vader comes in and says, I did it. So he really got closure from both Anakin and Vader. And, you know, it just goes back to show, you know, what this show could have been. Like, if it had been, there are points of absolutely brilliant writing in that show.
Yeah.
Points.
Yeah. See, if it would have just been a movie, it would have been fine. But like you said, they dragged it out or whatever, just so they could like keep up Disney Plus subscriptions and stuff. For how many episodes was it? Six weeks.
6 weeks.
If people would have signed on for a trial for one week just to watch one movie. Yes. They would have been screwed. So they need to like drag it out more. Visually, I mean, obviously the effects are great, but a lot of the shots were just like handheld, so like I can see that that's where they sacrificed some of their budget stuff there. I'm sure they just reused whatever the dome that they used in the Mandalorian, which I love so much.
We've talked. Asher, let's get off this tangent. Let's not get so mad at Star Wars anymore. Right?
I know. I can talk about Star Wars too. So.
But we want to get on to the point of
greedy little fucking mouse.
Everybody likes a good list, though, right? Everybody likes a good list, and we got to get the movie guys' preferences here. So, Raj, we talked about it earlier. So, what's your top three movies we should see that is recently released or is released in the coming months? What is something that's pretty new or going to be coming out that we should be seeing?
Yeah, I'm gonna give you two that are out and one that I am looking on the horizon for. So first off, the best movie of this year so far, and it might be one of my top 10 movies. It's really fucking good. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. If you haven't seen that, it's a much better multiverse movie than Doctor Strange. And I like Doctor Strange. And I like Sam Raimi, and that's a really fun movie. But this one has like such emotional ties, and like the structure is really original, and like it's the way it's cut together and everything. It's a must see. The characters are great. It's the dude that played Short Round on Indiana Jones. It's like his comeback into modern cinema. However old he is now, he does a great job, and like the fight scene and choreography are fantastic. So yeah. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. If you get a chance, watch that. Second favorite this year would probably be The Northman, which is the director. Did you watch it?
I have.
And what'd you think?
It was good. It's a little long, of course, yeah. But it was good.
It is a little long. All those,
yeah.
For some reason, you can't make a 90-minute movie anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. Like, you have to make an appointment to watch any of these, especially like these mob-type movies or drama. If it's a drama movie, it's a 3-hour. You know, you're just going to be sitting there for 180 minutes.
Yeah. It's been that way since Godfather, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much to do in those movies. So much to do.
So many other little like side characters and stuff. Cause you got to build them up. Like if you're going to have, so mob movies are pretty much like, if you're going to build a character up and like have the audience establish a relationship with them, not only a relationship to him, but also the main character. And so you have these little satellites, you know, if you're going to kill the main character off, you got to like have a justification. It's probably going to happen towards the end of the movie, but the side characters you can kill off like 2/3 of the way through to provide a motivation for like a different hit. And so structurally those have a lot of ground to cover. And so you need, sometimes the 3 hours is a necessity of that. I think Scorsese was probably the one that popularized that or whatever, like Goodfellas, Wolf of Wall Street, Casino, like the Raging Bull, like, freaking Taxi Driver. Like those movies are just long as shit. Like, and they're old too. Like they've been long since like the early 80s or whatever, you know, but back in the day,
right.
This is a mentality that we need to get out of is so movie tickets are kind of they're expensive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, especially in this economy, like it's pretty expensive to go to the movies. So you need to get it out of your head of value for your money. You know what I'm saying? So if some people go to the movies and if it's not 3 hours, if it's not the newest Marvel movie, that's 2.5 at least or whatever, and it's a 90-minute movie, they're going to feel gypped for some reason, you know?
Yeah. Instead of quality. Yeah. I get that. I that's how I feel about movies. Like I don't care how long they are. As long as
it to be
they,
good.
I want it to accomplish everything that I, you know, kind of want it to accomplish. Which Star right. Wars did not do, but that's
all right. Well, stay away from that. But yeah, so the Northman, Robert Eggers movie, was fantastic. obviously, the worst movie of like the last 5 years has got to be like Morbius.
Yeah, that was. I've heard. I haven't seen it. I've heard it was horrible. They re-released it, right, and like lost a bunch of money.
Literally because it's a fucking joke. Yes. Like it's just like goes nowhere. It was just a mess. Like the best way to put it is a mess. But the one that I'm looking forward to that hasn't come out yet, I think it's coming out real soon, 2 weeks, couple weeks, is Nope. Jordan Peele's new movie. I'm a big Jordan Peele fan, so I'm excited for that. I haven't seen like the second trailer. Like I like watching the first trailer for a movie and then no more because I don't want to see anything else. I want to get like what the tone is, and then I'm good. Like, I don't want to know anything else. Like, because my mind always works like, okay, well, this is going to happen in the first 15 minutes, and then this is going to happen, and this is going to set up for the third act, and then the finale is going to be this. And I hate that. Yeah. So that's, I'm like, I got to just watch one or see a couple of stills and like be done with it. Prime example, I'm pumped for the Barbie movie.
Yeah,
Barbie movie. Yeah. Oh, Robbie man. Movie. Yeah.
Hello, Barbie. Let's go party.
Yes.
Just like how saturated water. The colors look. Oh, my God.
I'd rather just give me fucking AIDS.
You're talking about you're talking about Ryan Gosling, right?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
It's the washboard abs that I drink off of.
Oh, God.
What?
I want to be waterboarded. I want to be waterboarded out of those ads. All right, Roger, your top three movies, regardless of genre. Let's go.
Top three movies of like all time.
All time.
Let's see. I would say so. These. I don't know if I would say they're my personal favorite, but I'm going to say these are the top three movies that everybody should watch just to know like what can be accomplished. As far as composition goes, script writing, and like emotional extraction in your audience goes. So top one, I already mentioned The Godfather. So Godfather's on that list, just the editing and stuff. Have both of you guys seen The Godfather?
Of course.
Tyler?
Of course. I've got to say, I haven't seen The Godfather. I know it's bad. I know it's bad.
It's fine. I just don't want to like ruin anything too much. But yeah, Al Pacino, Marlon Brando. I think Robert De Niro's in that too, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, yeah, I think he is as well. Marlon Brando, though, was absolutely incredible in that movie.
Yeah, and like just that script is so, I mean, it's a long movie, but all those characters have like enough time on screen that you really get attached to all of them. And the scene that I'm thinking of in particular is like the revolving door scene slash the christening scene. Whenever both of those things are happening simultaneously, or at least that's the way the audience is perceived, the cutting there is just phenomenal. And the theming is like, you know, the beginning of life and like also the taking of a life or whatever, you know, it, beginning to end. It's just, it's beautiful. Second one.
Marlon Brando was humping everybody. I don't know, stock context there. He was just humping everybody. You need to look that up if you haven't noticed. Everybody. Anything you had a pulse, Marlon Brando was humping. Go ahead, Ron.
Oh, my God. Really? No, I don't. It's the mustache is what it is. It's uncontrollable power.
It is the mustache. It's why I've got a mustache right now, actually. Go ahead, Roger.
He was also in A Streetcar Named Desire, and he did a really good job in that. So we're going back a little bit further to black and white movies. Obviously, this one's been like on the top. For top list forever is Citizen Kane. If you haven't seen Orson Welles, Citizen Kane, that's
Rosebud.
Rosebud. See, you know that. Have you both seen it?
Yeah, I had to watch it. Yeah, in class.
I have not. I've got some recommendations to watch.
Yeah.
See, so Tyler doesn't even know like the significance of Rosebud, and like it represents like childhood innocence and like the everything that every modern man is trying to get back to. That movie is like the perfect synopsis of the American dream and like what can be accomplished and like how hollow you'll still feel even with all the money in the world. Like that movie is just freaking great. Not to mention like
a constant struggle to tap into nostalgia as well to get back to that place of innocence.
Yes. And like just the shots in that, like I think Orson Welles did this. I can't remember whenever Kurosawa came out with stuff, but having multiple things in the frame in focus and like basically telling like four stories at once, even though you have a stationary shot, is just something that was at the time was just unheard of. And also like shooting upwards and actually having a ceiling and not shooting on a soundstage and using realistic lighting and shadows and developing that drama instead of just having it look everything look like I Love Fucking Lucy or whatever. Like, you know, it's really good. It's good stuff. Third one.
Before you go into number three, into number three, Raj, what if talking about black and white movies. What about the Lou Gehrig movie? Is it Pride of the Yankees? You've seen it?
That's my favorite
old movie. What, right? Asher, what's the movie called? Am I misquoting that name?
No, I think I know what you're talking about. It's like when he gets ALS and it's like horribly depressing. Yeah.
It's a great movie, Roger.
No, I haven't.
It was
filmed like in 1945 or 1946.
Oh, really?
It's a good
We'll come back. We'll talk about the greatest sports movie after I say the third one.
Okay.
So third one is, for me, would be 2001 Space Odyssey, Stanley Kubrick. And that's just an accomplishment of like framing and symmetry and just thematic things and how much ground. He literally like covers the beginning of time to the end of time in one movie. And like the evolution of intelligence and weaponry and technology and ambition. And like, it's just crazy. I mean, it's like it's like the most epic movie ever. And it came out way ahead. I think it came out ahead of Star Wars. I'm pretty sure. I might need to fact check myself on that. But
2001?
It came out 2001, A Space Odyssey.
That's in between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones.
no, the name of it is 2001 in Space Odyssey.
Okay, it
came out in like 1970 something. 1968. It came out in 1968.
Yeah, that's before Star Wars.
So yeah. Star Wars was 77. Yeah, so a lot of the like miniature usage and special effects as far as like lasers and lighting and stuff goes came from this movie that Star Wars utilizes to great effect. And yeah, I mean, everybody knows the HAL thing. Like you could used to talk on your iPhone. You'd say, Siri, open the pod bay doors, and you do it enough. And she would be like, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And that was a 2001 Space Odyssey reference. But anyways, really, really great movie. So yeah, what's your guys' favorite sports movie?
Favorite sports movie of all time. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's like no real wrong answer here. Like we can go from everywhere. We can go from like Happy Gilmore. I love Happy Gilmore too. And we go from there to like the first Rocky, you know, like it's just huge.
Does it have to be like an entirely based sports, or can I separate the categories into documentaries and actual movies?
Oh yeah, either way, documentaries are cool. Yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna go Strokes of Genius for documentary. The match between Rafa and Roger, tennis at Wimbledon, when Nadal kind of came onto the scene. It's the greatest tennis match ever played.
Oh yeah.
Far. Yeah, Roger Federer was in his absolute prime. He's not. He's not the. He's not the goat anymore.
Serena Williams is the goat, baby. I'm kidding. I don't know.
But like, if that match, like the lead up to that match, the anticipation was out. It's the greatest tennis match ever played of all time. I've got the autographed Sports Illustrated magazine of that. Yeah, oh, autographed from both Roger and Rafa in my desk, in my room. It's pretty really one of the coolest things I own.
That's amazing.
But like, yeah, I've got that one. It's my favorite documentary. It's called Strokes of Genius. If you haven't seen it, it's really, really good. I've got – that is my favorite sports doc. If I'm going to go favorite sports movie of all time, it's got to be either Moneyball or Draft Day.
Ooh, I haven't seen Draft Day.
Kevin Costner?
Yeah, great movie.
Kevin Costner. Wow, how did I miss that? Is it also a baseball movie?
No, it's an NFL draft movie, which okay. I mean, I love the NFL draft. I love – everything about the salary cap and the NFL draft, I just love it. I'm a nerd for it. I get a hard-on for it. You name it.
Yeah, you statistics guys over here, you like them number crunches, huh?
Oh, I fucking love it. I fucking love it. I love Jonah Hill as well.
Yes,
Moneyball.
Love Jonah Hill.
He's so funny.
Yeah, Moneyball was pretty good. definitely one of my faves. I'm a sucker for boxing movies, man. So, like, whatever. Warrior. I know Warrior's like a UFC
that's
MMA
so good,
thing.
Though.
So yeah, good. The Hardy. Fighter with Christian Bale and Matt Damon. That one's really good.
Great movie.
Good guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Tyler, what's,
is that Mark
what's
Wahlberg?
Your favorite? I think so.
Mark Wahlberg. Yeah.
Wahlberg and Christian Bale.
Super skinny Christian Bale. Yeah.
Yeah. Anorexic Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Sports docs. I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, which really, it's really about a year past. But the Bulls, the 90s Bulls that centered on Michael Jordan last year that came out on ESPN.
Oh, the Last Dance.
The Last Dance. That was one of the best sports documentaries I've ever watched. And I have watched a
Is it a movie or a series?
It's a series. It was like six episodes, and it just went through like Michael Jordan's struggles like early in his career against the Pistons and the Celtics and all the way up to his championships with Dennis Rodman and the guys. It was so well written, and like I can't believe they still have all that good footage of all that. I mean,
yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, I watched it.
It's unbelievable how the footage they still had and how it tied into everything there. It was awesome. But there's a bunch
Disney
of memes
sat on that forever.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
they sit on everything.
Yeah, they come out after the pandemic time. So anyway, that's probably my favorite sports doc, and I love the America's Teams. It comes on NFL Network.
Yeah,
it highlights the Super Bowls.
The storytelling of sports. You know,
I've always been in that. If I read a book, it's usually a sports book. But you know this, Raj. I've always been like that. So,
yeah.
I
haven't seen The Last Dance, but I've seen the SNL sketch making fun of The Last Dance about Michael Jordan like gambling away like that dude's clothes, like shooting guys in the back. That's so hilarious. Funny. I don't even need to see the rest of it. That's great.
It's so funny. That was really good. Really well done. But if I had to pick a sports movie.
And you can say Bring It On.
I don't want to sound cheap.
You know, I'm not saying that. That's for sure. This is more nostalgia for me here on this. I really like The Little Giants. You know,
Little Giants is great, man.
Love that movie when I was growing up. I mean, I watched it a million times. You know, I think we did at the house quite a bit. But if I had to look at one,
Icebox is smoking.
Yeah, Icebox is smoking now. It's weird. You know, it's kind of weird to feel it that way. So anyway, The Little Giants. I mean, all the Adam Sandler sports movies that came out.
Do you count sports? The Waterboy is good. Yeah,
Waterboy's good. Really good. But, I mean, I can't really narrow it down to one. There's just so many I've seen, and I can't really come off of the top of my head. If there's any biopic out there that I can't think of, that's really ones I really enjoy. So I would say Little Rascals, just based off nostalgia.
The Longest Yard, what'd you guys think of that? Not the new one, not the one with
Adam Sandler, Burt Reynolds.
The old one, Burt Reynolds, yeah.
I liked it good. Favorite
favorite sports TV show, though, of all time, Friday Night Lights. Matt Saracen, the GOAT, baby. I'll take Matt Saracen on Titans right now.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, just got Friday Night Lights, the movie. That's a really good one. The Permian.
I like the TV show better, though.
I haven't seen Black. Any Friday Night Lights, I'll be honest.
Lucas Black plays the quarterback in that movie, Rog. The guy from down here. What's his? Yeah, Lucas Black. Where's it from?
Summer, maybe.
Oh, I got you. Yeah,
Summer, Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, top three movies, Tyler. Top three movies of all time. And then we'll go to Rog, and then we'll go to me, and then we can wrap this up with a pretty bow.
Well, Rog has already did his, so. I don't know, man. That's a loaded question. I'm not prepared for this question. The movies, love the Green.
Mm-hmm.
Any Tom Hanks movie I'm gonna put up here.
I love the Green Mile, though. We're talking about long movies. I was just rapping about it. I could watch the whole thing every time I watch it. It's so good. I really love
the new Elvis movie.
Oh yeah,
Forrest Gump.
Oh, yeah.
I got some beef with I got some beef with Jenny from Forrest Gump.
Jenny,
right?
Jenny's a horrible. She's a terrible person. But
Jenny,
I love that
Jenny
movie.
Jenny is a horrible person. Horrible.
Yeah, I mean, she just gives the guys an eight and dies. Anyway, yeah. But
only now, Forrest, when I have the most incurable sexually transmitted disease known to man, will I have sex with you. And oh, by the way, I'll come back like 6 months later, and you'll have or 9 months later, and you're gonna have a kid.
It could be 6 months. Baby. Jenny's got that accelerated system, you know. Yeah. She's juicy.
Here's your AIDS baby, Forrest.
Well,
also, he could see dead people. Go ahead, Tyler.
I really can't. I don't know. What would be another one I really, really love watching?
You said Green Mile. What about Shawshank? Do you like Shawshank?
I love Forrest. Oh, absolutely. Shawshank's great. But I don't want to say another Tom Hanks movie. I'm trying to think off of what I really, really have enjoyed. Oh, the Denzel Washington movie, Training Day. Love that movie. I can watch that movie anytime, too. It is so good. I'll just say those three, just off the top of my head. All
right. Nice.
All right. Mine are pretty cut and dry. I've had this list for a while. Number one is Good Will Hunting. It's not even close. Number one is Good Will Hunting.
Nice.
Then great number movie. Two, great I'd probably movie. Go Once Upon a Time in the West with Charles Bronson and Henry Fonda.
Ooh,
and
interesting.
Then number three, I'd probably say it's a tie right now. And I go back and forth depending on the day between the number three is loaded because I could easily just move up number one from Heath Ledger's performance in The Dark Knight. Just Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight to number one. But number three is probably going to be Interstellar. I love Interstellar.
I haven't got into Christopher Nolan or the Christian.
Yeah, I saw Interstellar at the NASA movie theater in Huntsville when it came out. It was
nice.
Really, really cool.
Saw episode really cool. 7 there, I think.
It was. I loved Interstellar. Matthew McConaughey gave a great performance. It was really good. I like that. I go between that one. I struggle between that one and Leaving Las Vegas with Nicolas Cage.
As top, nice.
Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Nick Cage.
Yeah, Nick Cage.
See, but I didn't get to get into Christopher Nolan well or the Quentin Tarantino movies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my list is jacked up. I got to get another list and bring it back next week.
Pulp Fiction is up there, too.
Yeah, I was going to say the only
Django.
Django's great. Do you hear about the sequel? They were going to do one, but apparently they had to cut it because of budgetary reasons. And I was like, how much? Like, he fucking spent so much money shutting down multiple streets in Hollywood for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and like renovating them to make them look like that time period. I'm like, what budget restraints does Quentin Tarantino have?
He should have none. He should let him do whatever he wants.
They need another Django. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it was, I think it was called Django Zorro. So I think it was going to be like, maybe Django meets Zorro? I don't know.
But, Rog, it's been a ton of fun. We can wrap this up, buddy. We've been in here, what, just going at it for 48 minutes right now, Gordon Anker. So hey, it's been really fun. We've really enjoyed your insight, and we really like hearing your takes on movies. And
oh, it's
anytime
great talking
you want
to
come
fellas.
Back and chop it up with us, we're going to bring you back anytime you want to. So
sounds good, really, man. Maybe we'll stay. I thought for sure whenever Asher was naming his off, he was going to go, all right, I have my top three favorite right here. Episode 1, episode 2, episode 3.
Ooh. Don't get me fired. We talked about Kenobi for like 30 minutes. But we really enjoyed it, Roger. We appreciate your time, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Roger.
Thanks.
See ya.
See ya.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and I'd like to invite you to the portal of positive football history, Pigskin Dispatch and PigskinDispatch.com. We talk about everything that centers around the game of American football, expert discussions, the origins of the games, the great players, teams, and coaches, and more, and some great guests and insights from experts. We have new episodes 3 to 4 times a week, and you can find us on SportsHistoryNetwork.com, PigskinDispatch.com, or your favorite podcast provider.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.